Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from Romans chapter 12, where St. Paul writes, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." I don't know how well you can see these, but all three of these pictures have something in common. They all, of course, depict what appear to be scenes from Jesus' life, but do you see what's most prominent? The cross, right. You know, over the years, the artists have attempted to convey the powerful truth that from the moment of his birth, Jesus was born to die. John declares that the eternal Word was made flesh, born into our world, so that by his death and resurrection, he might destroy death's power once and for all. The shadow of the cross, the instrument of his death and of death's destruction, loomed over Jesus every day of his life. And that cross, though, was his goal, his purpose, his divine destiny, and the means of victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil for you and for me. That cross, Jesus' cross, casts its shadow over you and me as well. And it has from the moment we came to faith. Now that shadow is a blessing because it reminds us of the life and the salvation that Jesus has given us. But living in that shadow is not always easy because it means trusting God in the midst of pain and suffering. As you live under the cross, God asks you and me to walk through life and see life from his perspective. We live under the cross as we live out the words, "Thy will be done." And sometimes that prayer is so hard to pray. It's not always the easy thing to do. Now that kind of living actually makes no sense to most people. Paul puts it this way in his first letter to the Corinthians. He says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We preach Christ crucified." Christ. The power of God and the wisdom of God. That God brings life through the death of his Son makes no sense to our human way of thinking. And to trust that God can bring blessing and joy through our own pain and suffering is even harder to comprehend. But the eyes of faith see and trust that the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. There really are two ways of looking at the Christian faith, two theologies that are diametrically opposed to one another. There's the theology of the cross and the theology of glory. Now, a theology of glory begins with man and His expectations. The theology of glory seeks power and success and size and pleasure. The theology of glory downplays suffering and humility. These things exist to drive us to God, but after we come to faith, the Christian will experience one victory after another. Pray hard enough, believe hard enough, and your problems will be solved. You can't find a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Ask God and he'll send you one. You can't have a baby? Believe and God will open your womb. You have cancer? Well, if you get enough friends and neighbors to pray for you, he'll cure you. And if it doesn't work, it's your fault, not God's. But the theology of the cross declares that the God who revealed himself in the suffering and death of his Son works through your pain and sorrow this side of heaven. A theology of the cross clings to the promises of God in the midst of suffering, humility, meekness, and pain. To live under the cross is to trust in God's yes when everything in your life and world are shouting no. Today we observe Sanctity of Life Sunday. Living life under the cross, we proclaim the power and value of life in a culture that is obsessed with death. You know, sinful human beings are fascinated with death. We fear it, and we deny it, living as though our lives will go on forever and trying to do everything medically possible to make that happen. But with increasing frequency, our society views death as the solution for life's problems. Death for the unborn. Death for the old and the sick. Death for those who are suffering. Death for the handicapped. Death for those whose lives fail to meet some arbitrary standard of quality. And we use euphemisms like freedom of choice, or death with dignity, or a kind and merciful death. But behind all of that talk is the ugly reality of the destroyer of life and love and hope. Our culture loves death because it has given up on life. And it's given up on life because it has never known real life, life under the cross. God had it right as he spoke through Solomon, "Whoever finds me finds life, and all who hate me love death." Abundant, everlasting life can be experienced only by faith in the one who died on the cross and rose again from the dead. Apart from Christ and his cross, life is nothing more than empty days filled with meaningless events which are moving inevitably toward termination. Apart from Christ and his cross, power, success, size, and pleasure become our goals. We live for them because we really have nothing else to live for. And without them, well, life is just simply not worth living. There are three phrases in our text which highlight what a life lived under the cross looks like. First, Paul encourages us to be joyful in hope. Hope. That's a funny word. It's not just the name of our administrative assistant here at Grace, but hope is a strange word. It's a word that we just often do not understand. It's often seen as nothing more than some vague desire that, well, things will somehow improve. I hope it rains today. Or, I hope it doesn't rain today. But Christian hope is different. Christian hope is the confident expectation that God's purposes will be fulfilled and accomplished because God is faithful and true. We even sing about that hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground, what, is sinking sand. Christian hope holds on to what God has promised, even though we don't see it, even though we have yet to receive it. And the center of life under the cross is the recognition that real life is more than what can be seen. And Christian hope is joyful hope. It's joyful because it's not based on the circumstances of life, but is grounded on the loving promises of God. God promises that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That means that there's more to our lives than meets the eye. There's joy to be found in the midst of grief, because there is life to be found beyond the grave. Next, St. Paul encourages us to be patient in affliction. You know, if nothing else, the Bible is realistic. Life under the cross will not be a life of ease, free from pain, resting comfortably on a bed of roses. Instead, Jesus, who suffered for us, warned that we who take up the cross and follow him will also be called to endure suffering in this life. But the theology of the cross enables us to view our struggles in a positive sense. God uses them as a way of strengthening and renewing our trust and reliance on him. And sure, we prefer not to struggle. We don't want those thorns in the flesh. But God's loving response to Paul applies also to us. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Our difficulties drive us again and again into the loving arms of God and remind us of our absolute dependence upon his grace. To live under the cross is to live by faith, not by sight. The prophet Habakkuk knew this when he said this. He said, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Lord Almighty is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go up on the heights. Pastor Larry White related this story. He said one of his elderly members had emphysema and had struggled with it through most of her life. And finally, as that disease progressed, she ended up in an intensive care unit and struggling for every breath. Her hospital stay lengthened from weeks into months, and her struggle grew more intense and difficult during that time. Now, Esther was eager and ready to depart and be with Christ. And although she was patient in her affliction, she would ask, why am I still here, Pastor? Why hasn't the Lord taken me home? And the best answer Pastor White could give her was the theology of the cross, that God loved her so much that he sent his son to die for her, that she was now being called to trust God's will, even though it's hard to comprehend. Look to the cross, look to Jesus, trust his love. Well, finally her struggle ended, and she went home to be with Jesus. A few weeks after her death, Pastor White was back in the same ICU visiting another member of his church. And as he left, a young nurse's aide stopped him in the hallway and asked, are you Esther Parsons' pastor? And he said he was, and the young woman continued, I want you to know that I'm a Christian today because of her. I never had the chance to talk to her, but I saw her faith. I saw the way Jesus loved her and the strength that he gave her, and now I'm a believer too. I just wanted you to know. And Pastor White writes, as the young lady walked away, I looked toward heaven and said, there's your answer, Esther. But of course, Esther already knew. From the world's point of view, an old woman racked with pain and struggling for every breath seems pointless. But those who live under the cross, they know that there's always a purpose and a plan founded in the love of the God who sent his son to die so that we might have life. The text's final encouragement is to be faithful in prayer. These words might literally be translated, in regard to prayer, continuing. You know, all too often we pray as a last resort, when all else has failed, when in reality it should be our starting point. You see, prayer is a response to God's promise that he hears and that he is answering. That humble prayer, not my will but yours be done, is an acknowledgement of God's control over our lives as well as an act of submission to his will. And although not easy, dependence and trust are the great themes of life under the cross. You know, it's really amazing that the cross, an instrument of brutal execution and death, has been transformed into the sign of real and eternal life. Our God demonstrated the precious value of every human life when he created us. And we see the value of human life when we see that God was willing to give up that which was most precious to him, his own son. Now, people may reject as worthless the life of the old man or woman in a nursing home, or the life of the unborn child, or the life of the terminally ill, or the life of the physically or mentally handicapped. But the cross shouts God's love for each and every one of them. In fact, it's people like these, people in their weakness, their vulnerability and their pain, who most clearly reveal the depth of God's love. That love is given to people who could never earn or deserve it. People like you and me. So, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Live your life the only way life can truly be lived to the full, and that's in the shadow of the cross. Amen.